This is Radio Hanger. I'm Tower, and this is Atis, where we take the headlines and tell you what they actually mean from the cockpit. Today, we're looking at a story out of Eastern Europe, and I want to be careful and clear with it, because this is a conflict zone. The details are contested and the claims come from one side. So we flag what's confirmed and what isn't, and we keep it in the lane that matters to you as a pilot, airspace, radar, and the systems you rely on every time you key up. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know. According to reporting from Aerotime, Ukraine has claimed it damaged multiple Russian air defense and radar installations during a long-range drone strike deep inside Russian-controlled territory. The Ukrainian side says the operation hit several sites tied to air surveillance and surface-to-air missile coverage. Now, the word claimed is doing a lot of work in that sentence, and I want you to hear it. This is a claim from one party in an active war, independent confirmation of battle damage. In a place like this is slow, and sometimes it never fully arrives. Russia has not offered a matching account. So treat the specific numbers, the count of sites, the extent of the damage, as unverified for now. That's not me hedging. That's just how you read wartime reporting responsibly. What we can talk about with more confidence is the how and the why, because that part is aviation, and it's the part that actually connects to your world. Let's start with what an air defense and radar network really is, because most of us only meet radar from the friendly side. When you're flying in the system back home, radar is the thing that makes flight following possible. It's the reason a controller can call traffic for you, the reason approach can sequence you into a busy field, the reason your transponder squawk turns you into a labeled target on a screen. Radar in the civilian world is a service. It's there to help you. A military integrated air defense system uses the same physics for the opposite purpose. Early warning radar reaches out hundreds of miles to detect aircraft. Then engagement radar, tighter and more precise, locks a track and hands it to a surface-to-air missile battery. The whole thing is a layered net. Detect at long range, track in the middle, engage up close. So when one side sets out to damage that network, the target isn't just a building, it's the eyes. Blind the radar, and the missiles behind it are pointing at nothing. That's the logic Ukraine is describing here. And whether or not every specific claim holds up, the strategy itself is textbook. You go after the sensors first. Here's why the tool matters. This was described as a long-range drone strike. We are watching in real time small and relatively inexpensive uncrewed aircraft reach targets that used to require a crewed bomber or a cruise missile. A propeller-driven drone flying low, slow, and cheap is now being used to attack some of the most expensive defensive hardware a nation owns. That asymmetry, cheap thing hunting expensive thing, is the single biggest trend in aviation coming out of this war, and it is not staying inside the war. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let me connect it to your side of the fence. This affects you if you fly anywhere near the modern uncrewed traffic environment, which increasingly is everywhere. The same long-range, low-cost drone technology being battle-tested overseas is the technology reshaping the rulemaking you live under at home. When the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, works through beyond visual line of sight rules, when your local field starts seeing more uncrewed operations, when detect and avoid requirements get written, the engineering lessons are flowing partly out of environments exactly like this one. War is an ugly laboratory, but it is a laboratory, and civil aviation has always inherited its hardware. The transponder in your panel, the very idea of radar identification, a great deal of your radio navigation, all of it has military parentage. There's a second thread here worth pulling, and this one is immediate and practical. Airspace. When a conflict damages or degrades a radar and air defense network, the airspace around it becomes genuinely unpredictable. Air defense systems can go active without warning. Navigation signals get jammed, and this is the key point for any pilot flying internationally. The effects don't respect the front line. We have seen across this conflict GPS interference bleeding hundreds of miles beyond the fighting into airways used by ordinary airline traffic over Europe and the Eastern Mediterranean. Crews have reported their position systems being spoofed, showing the airplane somewhere it isn't. That's not a claim. That's documented, and operators have issued bulletins about it. So if you fly the flight levels internationally, or you're working toward that kind of flying, here's the takeaway you can actually use. Do not assume your satellite navigation is truth in a contested region. Know where your raw data is, keep the old-fashioned ground-based navigation skills sharp, the ones that don't depend on a satellite that somebody 500 miles away is trying to blind. Cross-check when a notice to air missions warns of navigation degradation in a region. Read it and believe it. And this reaches further than the war zone. GPS interference of this type has shown up in places you wouldn't expect because the same jamming techniques are cheap and portable. The lesson for the general aviation pilot is the same as for the airline captain. Satellite navigation is a magnificent tool. It is not a substitute for knowing where you are. Let me bring it home. Strip away the geopolitics, which is not our subject and not our lane. And what's left is a straightforward aviation story. Sensors versus the aircraft trying to defeat them. That contest is as old as radar itself, and it never really ends. What's new is the price tag and the size of the machines doing the fighting. The airplane got small and cheap, the defensive network stayed big and expensive, and that imbalance is going to shape uncrewed aviation and the rules around it for the rest of your flying career. So watch this space. Not for the war, but for the technology and the regulation that follow it home. My thanks to AeroTime for the reporting behind today's story, and a standing note that claims from an active conflict deserve patience before certainty. You can find us anytime at RadioHangar.com. This is Tower, and that's your ATIS. Keep your eyes outside, cross-check your instruments, and I'll see you on the next one.